We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It is a little after 5 o'clock on this Wednesday.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. All right, we're going food. We're going back to the well with food. Seemed to be a big hit yesterday.
That's your go-to, isn't it?
Yes.
When in doubt, food sells, much like sex. Okay. Do you know what season it is right now as we approach spring training? In the food world?
Winter.
In the food world, it's winter, Evan?
Girl Scout cookies?
That's my man. My man. It's Girl Scout cookie
really?
Season.
It is.
Oh, the girls have been selling those cookies, and the cookies have been delivered all over. All right. I'm going to give you my opinion. The 5 best Girl Scout cookies in order. All right?
Nice.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
New to the game, like an expansion team making an AFC title game, the Toffee Tastics. Toffee, very underrated as an in-cookie insertion.
No good? Don't love toffee.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought Tiki Barber, as prestigious as you are, likes toffee.
No, toffee just
okay.
Doesn't hit right.
I don't think Evan even knows what toffee is.
Toffee's a compiler.
No idea.
All right, here we go.
Number 4.
A trefoil. For those wondering what that is, it's the blue box, the simple, plain, simple shortbread cookies. Delicious.
You're not pleasing Tiki so far.
Wow, okay. Dud so far.
Number 3.
I'm not having tea in England.
But they're delicious. Number 3 is a Samoa.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the coconut flake chocolate dipped.
Nah,
oh, now amazing. You want to speak up and have an opinion.
Well, I have an opinion on coconut. I think it's terrible. I don't like coconut. I don't like coconut on anything.
Did you have the Samoa out of the fridge? It's delicious.
No, the one thing that's coconut related that I like, correct me if I'm wrong, is pina coladas. Isn't that coconut related?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I like pina coladas. That's it. The only thing that's
pina
coconut
coladas.
Related I like.
You're unbelievable. Okay.
Number 2.
Did I say it wrong?
Pina coladas.
I said pina colada.
Put this and send it to your in-laws.
Oh.
Pina colada.
Number 2 is...
It's a pina colada. Oh, what
pina.
Is...
Pina.
Pina?
Pina.
Pina?
Pina colada.
Pina. There's a the accent or whatever, what I forget the symbol, the N on top of the N.
And that makes it a ya?
Yeah. Pinata. Not a pinata.
Didn't know that.
Where are we?
Song?
What song?
The pina colada song.
I like pina colada.
Making love in the rain.
Well, I know the song. I just don't know it as pina. I know it as pina.
Did you listen? They say it in the song.
Pina colada.
No, they say
pina colada.
Yeah, never picked up on that.
Evan is such a fake smart guy. It is all presidents in baseball. There's no
fake
other
smart
life
guy. Thought. I know space. I know space very well.
It's plants. Another real life. Okay, here we go. Where are we at?
Number 2.
S'mores, the graham cracker patties, the fudge and marshmallow in the middle, they're relatively new last 5 years.
They are.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if I've had the Girl Scout s'mores, though.
Wow. Tiki, new Girl Scout. He's got no opinion. All right, it's hopefully gets number one.
Mint is not number one. We're wasting our time.
Number one. It's Tagalongs. They're the peanut butter cookie wrapped in chocolate. It's almost like Twix and cookie form.
I do like that, by the way.
Oh, they're fantastic.
That's very good.
Mint they're should, a desk clock.
Mint
slapper.
Should be number one,
the
right?
Thin Mint.
You forgot the Thin Mint.
I didn't forget the Thin Mint. The Thin Mint.
You can crush. Talk about putting them in the freezer and bringing them out. You can crush the Thin Mints.
They're a little overrated.
You don't like the Do-si-dos?
No, they're too thick. I'm not an oatmeal patty guy. I don't like thick, crunchy stuff in my mouth.
All right. I get so
you don't
all
like peanut show. Butter either?
No, but it's, if we're going peanut butter, go tag them. All right.
Okay.
Kiss my fatty!
There's another Cinco de Five. We'll see if you can make it a trifecta and have something else about food tomorrow.
The reason that I know a lot about that is because my mother... was the director of finance at the Virginia Skyline Girl Scout Council.
Oh, wow.
When we were growing up.
I get you,
and
man.
So we would go over there and help her box up, because people would sell them, obviously. So they had to get their box of cookies.
How many flavors are there?
I think there are 15 now.
Wow.
They expanded. When this was happening, when I was, I don't know, 10, it was probably like 8. Now they have a ton of them.
Yeah, the only three that would jump out at me, mint, peanut butter.
Thin mints.
The peanut butter.
Do-si-dos.
And then probably just the basic one that you scoffed at.
The, what is that one called?
The trefoil.
The trefoil.
Yeah, those
I never liked those. That's why I never.
Really?
Yeah, because it felt like a I don't know, a British biscuit.
Well, it's simple, but it gets the job done. Anyhow, let's get to the Knicks real quick because this is, I don't know if it's concerning. So let's speak real about this. I made a mistake on the radio about a month and a half ago, and I want to own that mistake. Sean Morash broke the glass and broke news to us that OG Anunoby was not playing in a game, mm-hmm. and he was listed as day-to-day. And this is where I learned my lesson. The one thing is I'll make mistakes, but I don't want to make the same mistake twice. So when Sean did that, I kind of, I didn't say I scolded him, but I definitely reacted by, it's not a big deal, not a problem, he's day-to-day, they're probably maintenancing him.
Mm.
And that was the assumption I made. And I can't be the only one. I think other people also right. assumed this is minor because at that moment we were naive into just believing what the Knicks are telling us.
We also knew that he had a pre-existing elbow issue that he had missed time with before.
Right, but it was almost kind of spelled out as right. Just minor, it's right. maintenance. Not a big deal. And so I scoffed. And then a few days later he missed another game and I said, oh, okay, well maybe there is something here. And then he missed another game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the panic meters went up. And then they tell us, oh, yeah, he may need a procedure. And then he gets the procedure. And here we are. OG Anunoby hasn't played in what is now over a month. I'm trying to remember the last time he played, but I think we are now at the point where it's over a month.
Doesn't feel that long, but maybe it has been.
Yeah. So what I learned from that, and this is the key, you got, you can't make the same mistake twice, is that something that may feel minor may not actually be minor. Now, with that said, do I want to freak out every time someone misses a game? By the way, January 27th, so we are right at a month. It is February 28th, but that first game he missed was on January 29th. And since then, he has not played. So yesterday, when we're told, hey, Jalen Brunson's questionable, he woke up the wrong way, he's got a neck issue, my reaction is to say, hey, guys, I wouldn't be worried. He's a tough guy. They're probably on a back-to-back, maintenancing him. Let's take a deep breath. And, like, I still think that's probably what it is, and I think that's smart. Like, I know maintenance days piss a lot of people off, but let me tell you, you got to be healthy, bro. If you're not healthy, ain't winning anything. And Jalen Brunson's your best player. I am not anti-maintenance, and I will fight with anybody like I have in the past mm-hmm. that you need to be smart. But I don't know if it's maintenance because Tiki, with OG Anunoby, he hasn't played in a month.
Yeah, but OG had an existing condition. The difference is this is not an existing condition with Jalen Brunson. It's something that likely was acute. We talked about it yesterday, the cervical spasms, which I think is around his neck, something in his neck. But it feels like it's muscular and can be made better with treatment and massage and things of that nature. And so maintenance days make sense so you don't go out there trying to play with a stiff neck type of thing. Now, the problem, though, is that without him, and if it does become longer, the Knicks, who are playing hard for Tibbs, mm-hmm. right? You got to give them credit for being as shorthanded as they are, you know, trying as hard as every single game. But if this becomes an issue like OG's is an issue, or like Julius Randle's is an issue, the Knicks season's done. Right?
Hold on. It's done if in the postseason they're not there. You got to get there in the right place, though.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, you can't collapse and put yourself into the play-in tournament, which is on the table, and that's a worry. But really, it's about you got to make sure you're healthy when the games start to really, really
count. It's also a fall from this ascension. Right, they were climbing the Knicks, and it just felt like, all right, it really did feel like, all right, this could happen this year, even though they're not the favorite because the Boston Celtics have only lost, 13 games or whatever it is on the season. It still felt like they were good enough to compete against the Boston Celtics and maybe in a 7-game series take them. Now it doesn't feel that
way. Okay, but in
fairness,
now
you're starting to get worried that it's not going to just happen. It's not just going to be okay. I'm talking about health-wise. I'm not talking about...
Yeah.
You know, luck is on our side. We're destined to be there. Forget that. I mean, you got to actually go do it. But, like, health doesn't seem to be on the side of the Knicks. And if Jalen Brunson's injury lingers or becomes more of an issue like OG's, who's scoring?
Well,
or who's sustaining scoring?
I'm with you. The way I look at this, though, is I got to take this a couple of days at a time. So, number one, is this a maintenance day, or are we dealing with an injury to Jalen Brunson that's concerned?
It could be both.
You know what? We're going to find out tomorrow night. Because if he doesn't play against the Golden State Warriors, then I don't know how, as a Knicks fan, you wouldn't be worried.
Right.
At that point, you're going to say, okay, he's missed 2 days in a row. What the hell's going on?
And by the way, Golden State, they're all of a sudden good again.
No, no, that's
11-4 in their last.
If Jalen doesn't play, that's a loss.
Yeah.
Kind of like last night, you knew you weren't winning that game. And by the way, if you think that's a loss against Golden State on Thursday, what do you think is going to happen Sunday in Cleveland against the Cavaliers? That's a loss too. And all of a sudden, you're 35-26. So, key question number one, is this a maintenance day or is Jalen Brunson hurt? We're going to get that answer a little bit later than 24 hours from now, but right before tip tomorrow night against the Golden State Warriors. That's question number one. Now, here's question number two. If Jalen's okay, you got to be smart, okay? And you've got to balance two things at the same time. Number one, you got to win games, okay? You cannot fall into the play-in tournament. We all agree with that. No Knicks fan wants to take that risk of being in the play-in tournament. These games matter. Seeding matters. But you have to balance that with not running your players into the ground.
Yeah.
So I had this opinion years ago around the Nets, but no one gave a rat's ass. So now I'm going to give you the opinion today when people will care about the Knicks and how I would manage maintenance days, and I don't understand why teams don't do it. So hear me out. Be open-minded. IBO talking. Guy who has experience with guys who can't stay freaking healthy and knowing you need maintenance days. Jalen Brunson is playing an enormous amount of minutes. Have self-control. Instead of maintenancing a guy in a game, play him 30 minutes a night. Or, I got a crazy one, and this one's much more unorthodox. I don't like telling a guy they're not playing in a game. I don't like being arrogant to Loogie and saying, hey, you know what you guys should have done? You shouldn't have played him against the Pistons because you should beat him anyway. I don't like that because it's the NBA. You can lose to them.
Right.
So how about this crazy idea? You go to Jalen Brunson, hypothetically, before a game like Detroit, and say, so here's what we're going to do. I'm Tom Thibodeau. Here's what we're going to do. We got to get you rest because we're thinking big picture.
Mm-hmm.
But we also really want to win these games. You're going to start the game. You're going to play the first 5 minutes. You're coming right out at the six-minute mark. First dead ball, you're coming out of the game. Okay? Going to come out of the game. Then you're going to sit. You're going to come back with maybe like 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. You're going to play 10 minutes in the first half.
Wow.
If I need you, because winning matters.
You're talking about against the bad teams.
I'm talking about the Pistons. I'm using that specific game as an example. Now, you want to tell me the Atlanta game next week sort of fits that because Trae Young's out? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying I want to do two things at the same time that's in the best interest of the New York Knicks. I want to make sure my best player is rested, and I want to win. So you play a guy on an allotment of minutes, and then if the game is, oh, crap, it's tight. We got to win this game. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll extend it because we really need to make sure we don't lose at home to Atlanta or we don't lose at home to Detroit. As opposed to saying before a game, if this is what the Knicks are planning on doing, you're not playing. I don't like that.
Yeah, the challenge is that becomes variable. It meaning game planning is now different per day.
Yeah.
And that's just not Tom Thibodeau's style.
His style isn't to sit guys anyway,
I get it, Evan. I know that like he should be able to do that, but he doesn't. Right? He has a mindset on how he wants to play and how he wants his rotations to be. Now, he's doing it, obviously, it's getting 9 or 10 deep now because he has to. These guys can't play 40 minutes, even though Precious got close to it last night. And he's actually playing okay, right? But he's set in his mind on how he's going to rotate and use a game plan or players in a game. In order for him to do that, would require him to think an extra level above what you're. It's high level thinking, high level maintenance.
Do you agree with my high level thinking?
I think it's fantastic.
Okay,
I think it's actually really smart.
Thank you.
And I think a lot of coaches in the NBA actually probably do those things.
I don't think they do because I've watched these maintenance days. I experienced it when my team had superstars, and I screamed and yelled about it. Because guys, I want you to understand. I get that winning matters. I am not going to sit here and tell you, screw it. Mm-hmm. You just got to get ready for the playoffs. No, these games do matter because seeding matters, because where you finish matters. But you also can't run your players into the ground. So here's your happy medium. Do both. Now, look, you made a claim. Well, that's not what Tom Thibodeau does. Why did Jalen Brunson not play last night? Was it a maintenance day or does he have an injury?
I don't know. We'll find out soon enough.
Okay. But if it's an injury, forget it. Then there wasn't a maintenance day. If it's a maintenance day, then he's already doing something he's never done before, which is maintenancing his best players and basically deciding to punt a game against the Pelicans, who are a damn good team, because you knew when Jalen isn't playing that game, you're not winning.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow. We'll know tomorrow whether or not it's a maintenance day or not.
But if it is, My high-level thinking, as you phrased, that's the way to go. Do you agree with me, Luke?
I agree with you if they were full strength. They're not.
So what does that mean? Mm.
Meaning Alec Burks is a mess. He can't do anything on the floor right now.
He stinks right now.
Stinks.
No question.
So they can't win without Jalen on the floor for 40 minutes. They cannot win.
So you're saying all or nothing?
If we had Julius, if we had Ananobi, Ihart was healthy, yes, you could maybe do maintenance. I could have Julius play 40 one night, Jalen play 40 the other night. If Jalen's not out there, they're a mess unless Burks or Deuce can pick something up.
Wait, so do you think Jalen didn't play last night because he's legitimately hurt?
Dude, as a fan, I'm worried that he's hurt, obviously. Okay. I don't know. It's not in Thibodeau's way, so my thinking is, oh my God, maybe he's hurt, but they're so banged up right now, maybe they figured, you know what, even with Jalen, we're not going to beat the Pelicans. They're red hot. We got guys out. I hope he's okay. So I don't know. I don't know what to think, but I like your idea if they were full strength. But right now, they desperately need Jalen on the floor because they're going to drop to the play-in game if this guy's not out there all the time.
And by the way,
they got nobody out there.
He's 100% right. Like, if you look at the standings right now and you look at what that roster is, if Jalen Brunson isn't out there, right now the Knicks are 2 games up in the loss column, 2.5 overall on the play-in tournament. And the team that's climbing...
On the play-in tournament, that's just not even dropping to not hosting a home game.
Forget the home game.
That's the play-in tournament. They're 2 games in the loss column.
I'll tell you right now, they're 34-23. They are still the 4th seed in the East. They're a game ahead of Philadelphia. They are 2.5 ahead of Miami.
But they're only 3 in the loss of the 3 seed, just to show you how good the East is.
I mean, it's tight. The East is tight.
Right.
Yeah, but the difference between thinking about the 3 seed is that they're banged up, like you're talking about. So, yes, of course they could jump up to 3. They could even jump up to 2. They're only 3.5 back of Cleveland. They play Cleveland over the weekend. But if we're talking realistically, right now your goal has to be, I cannot be in the play-in tournament. You cannot be. And Miami, who's won 3 in a row, is the team climbing out of it. Yep. So you're right. If Brunson isn't playing, they will be in that 7 spot in 2 weeks. Like, I agree with you. So that's why you have to be smart in trying to win games, but also thinking big picture at the exact same time.
2 weeks? Dude, it might be there in a week. Because look at it.
Well, they're going to lose the next 2 games against Golden State and Cleveland if Jalen's not playing. I'll tell you that right now. They may lose those 2 games anyway, the way the Warriors and the Cavs are playing.
It might be a week. And the challenge, obviously, with the play-in tournament is it becomes like football. It becomes a 1-game tournament as opposed to a series. It's a 1-game tournament.
You do have the cushion that if you lose the first game.
I agreed. But
the problem is then you're
2 1-game tournaments.
Right. And then if you win the second game, you play Boston in the first round, which I know you guys don't want to admit it, but I'll just be honest with you. They're the best team in the East. They're coming out of the East. That's a freaking death sentence if you're in an 8-1 game against the Celtics. Just be honest. Death sentence.
Take the Knicks out of it. The best team in the East is the Miami Heat.
Oh, God.
The Celtics will lose to the Heat. Mark my words.
I'll tell you one team I'm starting to worry about because all you guys doubted them is the Milwaukee Bucks. You like to kill Glenn Rivers.
He lost his doctorate.
They got off to a shaky start, but I don't know. Huh? I'd be careful. But this is an interesting spot. Tomorrow night is a big night because we're going to find out, is this maintenance or are we fearing a legitimate injury to the Knicks' best player? Andy is in Eatontown, New Jersey. How are you, Andy?
I'm good. Hey, listen, with the Knicks.
Yes.
I go to a handful of Knicks games every year. I'm not a season ticket holder. But quite frankly, if they announce Brunson's hurt early in the day, I'm not going on buying a ticket for the game. So I don't even know when they announced he wasn't playing. Was it a game time decision? I have no idea.
Were you talking about last night? Are you talking about, last night?
Yeah, last night. But even, I was in Orlando. I happened to be in Florida, so I bought tickets to the game. But if I knew ahead of time that all these guys weren't playing because the communication isn't the best.
Right.
I'm not buying a ticket on the secondary market because it's way too expensive.
No, I get you. But I don't think, you know what though, Andy? I don't think the Knicks care about that because their game's sold out. So whether you're buying the game on the secondary market or not, it doesn't matter. And I don't think the Knicks injury report has anything to do with ticket sales or the secondary market.
Mm-hmm.
What it has to do with is this guy going to play or not? And then also being honest with us about how serious an injury was, because they have not been honest about Julius Randle and OG Anunoby. Clearly OG, they just haven't. In Brunson's case, we are unfortunately in that 24-hour period where none of us know. Like, I'll be the first to tell you. The reason I'm skeptical that it's no big deal is because of what happened with OG Anunoby. Mm-hmm. We have to learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, but the challenge with comparing those two is that OG, and you said it before, but I'll say it again, it was pre-existing. Like, they knew that he had some kind of issue, maybe not specifically that it was a bone spur until they went and looked at it, or maybe they did. But they knew that it was a maintenance thing. It was something that he was going to have to deal with. And at some point, maybe in the offseason, you go get surgery. It got so bad, he had to have surgery in the middle of the season, and now we don't know if he's going to play in the regular season. With Jalen, it's acute. Right? This happened because of like the abuse that he takes, and the officials don't give him any love, and so he just keeps getting abused. So this feels like it's maintenance, but I would not be surprised if it's more than that.
Well, it can't be more than that. I mean, unfortunately, if it's more than that, they're going to really struggle. They're going to struggle, and it's going to be basically playing for your lives over the next few weeks to just survive this. And unfortunately, Ananobi and Randall are not walking through that door anytime soon.
No.
Ananobi and Randall, and it's funny, on a very different level, I feel you. Dude, I sat there for 3 years talking about when this guy's healthy and when that guy's healthy. And sometimes it just never happens. And those guys aren't walking through the door in the next week. Jalen Brunson's the guy that needs to be out there. Because those other two guys aren't helping anytime soon. They're just not. Let's go to Dan on Long Island. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Good.
Tiki, just want to say, first off, even though I'm a big Jet fan, always have much love for you.
Thank
Got
you,
a mini football signed from you early 2000s. Oh, only
nice.
Thing I have signed besides Pedro Feliciano.
I love it.
Much love.
Appreciate that, Dan.
My question is about the Knicks. I don't know if you guys saw the ruling about the protest that just came out.
Yeah, it got denied. The protest against the Rockets, right. Which was, you know, open and shut case.
Yeah. Maybe you guys can explain this better than the way I'm comprehending it. But the way I'm seeing it, they're saying that it can't be an error in judgment by refs. It has to be a misapplication of the rule.
Yes.
What is not knowing what a foul is be a misapplication of the rule?
I like what you did. I like what you did, but no. And that's why when they protested this, it was an open and shut case. And they were doing it to just show that they were really, really upset.
Yeah, they were complaining to complain.
A misapplication of rules, and I'll give you an example because I think this was the last time a protest went through, was when they had the wrong amount of fouls on Shaquille O'Neal and they fouled him out of a game he shouldn't have fouled out of. That is a misapplication of rules. That's what it is. An error in judgment, which is what happened, is not, there's no position to overturn it. Same thing in baseball.
Right.
When a game is under protest, we all remember, well, I don't remember it, I was too young, but we know about it. The George Brett thing with the pine tar, it's about a misapplication of rules, not, hey, they clearly got a call wrong. Right. So this was never in doubt. Like, of course it wasn't going to be restarted with an overtime because all it was typical of the NBA, which is the officials effing up.
Yeah, they messed up a foul call, and because of that, the Houston Rockets were able to find a way to win the game. But in theory, every foul is kind of subjective.
Exactly.
And so that's just it's a judgment thing. It's not misapplication of rules.
Yes. That's why there's so rarely do we ever see in baseball or basketball a protest actually, how do you phrase it? Upheld?
Yeah.
Or overturned?
No. What would it be?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Let's see. You protest the out. I don't know.
Yeah, the ruling is upheld, so it would be we overturned it if you
were. Yeah, but the NBA announced it was denying the protest from the New York Knicks. So they denied the protest. So if they actually said, we believe the protest, what's that called?
Upheld.
So I was right, upheld.
Yeah,
I
mean, upheld means
denied is accept, right?
If it's upheld, you won your protest.
Yeah, so upheld.
No, but the rule would
be upheld would be overturned.
No, the protest is upheld, meaning you were right in your protest. You were right to protest. Your protest was upheld.
Believe it or not, I think Lugie is spot on with this right now.
But what's the opposite of upheld?
Denied. Not held.
Go F yourself.
See, what the Knicks did, and I give them credit for this, is that the Knicks were so upset by an egregious call that they said, we're going to file a protest to show how angry we are.
Just so you have to address it.
Now, unfortunately, the Detroit Pistons are a poverty franchise, so they won't do the same thing for how they got screwed the other night at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks.
What's the number?
What was that?
What's the number to protest? Because you have to pay.
But there's an actual phone number?
No.
What's the matter? Like, you look very upset.
Like a monetary number, right? Don't you?
Yeah, you got to pay like $10,000.
Yeah, exactly. You got to write a check, which they could afford.
Which is nothing.
I wasn't sure what you were saying there. The Pistons did protest.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, Monty Williams in his rant.
I apologize.
Said that he protested. That he's like, we already called the league. Yeah, yeah.
No, no, no. Wait, hold on a second. But did they protest?
Oh, I don't know if they officially did it, but in his... I can listen back, but he said he was...
What Evan was talking about was the monetary outlay to officially protest, like the Knicks did. It cost them 10 grand. They knew they were going to get denied, right? Whatever.
There's a difference. All right, hold on 1 second. I think you're actually right. Let me see if this is a real place. The Detroit Pistons are filing an official protest with the NBA over a missed foul call on Dante DiVincenzo. You are correct that they are. I apologize. What I thought Monty said was, we've told the league about these calls. We've complained to the league about these calls, but filing a protest is different. But you are right. They did file a protest. I got a spoiler alert. They're going to lose. So for any Knicks fan that's like, oh, crap, we're already sinking enough in the standings. Right. Don't tell me we're going to have this overturned.
It's the same because it's not a misapplication of the rule.
No.
It's just a subjective no call.
Of course. There's a difference.
Even though he hip checked him like Matt Rimpey.
Dude, it was a terrible. We all know it was a terrible call.
Hey, see?
But still.
Got to get Rimpey in every day.
You still love Matt Rimpey? Still your guy?
Got to get a Rimpey in every day.
Wait till he fights again tonight.
Who they playing tonight?
Columbus again.
Baby-faced enforcer. That's what we're calling him.
That's his name?
No.
I thought we were going with the Rempire State Building.
And he has a major black eye heading into tonight.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's massive.
Yeah, he's a badass. I have to admit. Like, I've been killing him for a week. He's dirty. He's cheap. He's all that. All right. I'll give you credit. I have to admit. I apologize, Lugie. Tommy Lugauer wants us to go to break. We cannot go to break. Because coming up in the next 3 minutes, we are going to hear the sound of spring and the sound of summer. Every day until opening day at 5:30, we are going to get to hear a random John Sterling home run call. I have no idea who the home run is, what the nickname is, what the I know nothing. That is completely up to the executive producer of this fine radio program, Tommy Lugauer. And in the next 2.5 minutes, we're going to hear it. But first, Steve is calling from Manasquan, New Jersey. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on? You guys couldn't be more exact or perfect in a lot of your talk about the Knicks. I mean, sometimes I'm just astounded by it. I mean, most guys in the media are just jumping all over petty stuff, but the way you guys talk about the Knicks is like you're right there with me watching those games. But I wanted to bring up one other extra point.
Go ahead.
Was it's not just the minutes that Coach Tom is kind of overplaying everybody, and it's not even the hardness of the play. It's the way it's that defense, the way when you play defense like that. And I'm telling you, when you are so exhausted, I was watching DiVincenzo the other night, and I could just tell, like, we were not going to get the super game out of DiVincenzo. You could just tell he was in his mind, even like he's got to play such hard defense for 40 minutes.
Right, your legs
are
dead.
He's just not going to be able to put out that great of an effort. Like, you've got to get these guys even a minute or two, another minute or two, or just 3 minutes, just another little more of a break. Like, that's all he's got to do. Just a little bit more so that they know that when they get tired, that they can get a break.
Yeah.
Not that they're thinking, oh, I got to go 40-some minutes. I got to kill myself. They have to think that, hey, Coach Tom, I'm a little tired. For a minute or two, can you just give me a minute?
Yeah, but he does it. And that's part of the problem.
It's a balancing act because you're trying to balance doing exactly what he said, but also putting yourself in the best position to win. Alec Burks played 16 minutes last night. Him being out there for a minute more is not good. He is playing horribly right now.
Right.
And so that's the juxtaposition that you're in. Like, he's right. Dante DiVincenzo is playing big minutes. Deuce McBride played 40 minutes, and they're exerting, especially Deuce, major energy on the defensive side.
And that's why it was 3-of-13 shooting.
It's a part of it. There's no doubt.
I mean, chasing around offense, I mean, it's hard. It's exhausting. Even if you're in shape, just moving that much, changing direction you get dead legs. You see it. You feel it. That's what he's talking about.
And that's the tough spot that they're in. That's why with a little bit of health, you know, Iheart being back, Jalen Brunson being back, I think you can balance both. And that's why I've always had this plan. But now it matters because we're talking about the Knicks. You balance it by saying we're going to have minutes restrictions, and then based on the way the game is going, maybe you increase it. It is 5:30. And every day at 5:30 to warm you up to the baseball season, we are going to hear a random John Sterling home run call of the day.
It's time for John Sterling's home run call of the day.
That excites me. Can you play that one more time? That gets me like all pumped up when I hear the amazing WFAN voice say it.
It's time for John Sterling's home run call of the day.
Hey, what's wrong with you today? Getting pumped up for Yankees and giving kudos to the Knicks?
MSG? Bro, I tell like it is.
Wow.
I'm a diehard fan, right? But I tell like it is, man.
You all right?
Yes.
All right, just making sure.
He found out for sure today that he's a prestigious author, and it's changed his mindset on life.
That's right. My Med's Bible goes on sale April 2nd. You can pre-order right now on Amazon. Here it is, your random John Sterling home run.
And the 2-0. A high fly to left. Going back is Barnes. He's on the track. He's near the wall jumping, and it's gone. Into the first row in left field, Ben Francisco. He opened his golden gate and hit one in the left field seats. Hey, it's a Ben Francisco treat. A home run, and the Yankees take a 4-0 lead.
Ben Francisco.
I believe that is the one and only home run that Ben Francisco hit as a Yankee. Don't hold me to that, but
and
I'm pretty sure.
He hit it in San Francisco?
No.
No. No, he did not. Ben Francisco played for 8 major league teams.
When was he with the Yankees?
He was with the Yankees for 21 games in 2013.
Oh,
hit 114 with one home run and one RBI. He was 5-44.
It's a Ben Francisco treat.
Where was that game at?
I'm going through his game logs. This will be easy to find.
It sounded like Yankee Stadium sirens.
I have the answer. It was at home.
Okay.
And it was against, of all teams, before they were really your rival, the Houston Astros.
It's a Ben Francisco treat.
Wow.
That.
You could tell not exactly a jazzed up crowd. 2013 Yankees, Astros meaningless.
Eric Bedard gave up the home run.
Wow.
Eric Bedard, the former Oriole. Boy, I'm going to love these random John Sterling home runs.
It's a Ben Francisco treat.
He did well with that one. Like, you could tell it wasn't scripted.
Oh, with John?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to get in trouble again because I made a comment yesterday many may have deemed offensive.
Right. But that one was good.
John was better at the home run calls maybe a while ago. I'll just leave it at that. That's all I'll say. I love
the Golden Gate in there.
Tumbling down, Ev?
I know. What's going on?
No, I'm saying that his calls in 2013 were with whatever. I don't want to talk
Evan's
about this
weird
anymore.
Today.
He is.
What do you mean I'm weird? What have I done?
You're loving the Knicks and MSG. You're giving kudos to the Yankees. You're making you excited about baseball.
Yeah.
You haven't said Pete Alonso's name once today.
Oh, I did when you took his jersey down. That was when I got upset.
That's true.
We'll get back to your calls in a second. 877-337-6666. I'm afraid I'm about to send Tiki down a rabbit hole. But I was in this rabbit hole last night while I was at the Nick Pelican game. It was at halftime.
Okay.
I started thinking to myself, self, we have 365 days in a year. Okay. Some months have 30 days. Some months have 31 days. I think we all know which months have 31 days. Clearly that's January. That's March. That's May. That's July. That's August. That's October. And that's December. Okay. Then we got a handful of months that only have 30 days, okay? Those are clearly April, June, September, November. Okay, easy. Why the hell do we have a month that is so awkward that it has 28 days, and then occasionally we give it a 29th? Like, I know why we have the day every 4 years. I get that. That's like a sun-moon thing.
Yeah.
But why don't we even it out better? Like, if we gave every month, including February, those 30 days, and then the 31st day is the extra day for one of the months that has 30, wouldn't that be easier math than awkwardly picking a month and saying, we're only giving you 28 days? Mm. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm. Well, you know why it is that way.
I have no idea.
So, our trip, a year is a trip around the sun.
No, I know that.
Right?
Yes.
So, you have to have days in the year.
Yes.
It's actually not exactly 365 days.
I understand that part.
And so
I get that.
There's a little bit of wiggle.
I get that.
And so over time, it accumulates. And so like, what do you do with that accumulated time? Over 4 years, it ends up being a day.
No, I get the extra day.
So you add the day.
I get the day. I'm good with the leap day. I understand the leap day. What I'm saying is, mathematically.
Why didn't you have 29 days in every month?
Well, no, well, look, I'm going to take the calculator out. There's 12 months. 12 times 30 is 360. Yeah. That gives you 5 days to fill. So let's just say, okay, every month has 30, including February. And you know what? We'll give the 31st day to make up those five to the first 5 months of the year. January, February, March, April, May. Then the leap year is the 31st day in one of the months that only has 30.
You're asking, why does February only have 28 days?
Yes.
That I don't know.
That's my question. I understand the leap year. I have no issue with the leap day, the leap year, and all that crap. I have an issue that we took February and made it like this redheaded stepchild of 28 days. Why? And I'm the only one that can say redheaded stepchild, by the way, as I read it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. We could have evened it out, made it easier. I don't like that. I get very confused at the end of February. Today's the 28th, which is the last day of the month, but this year it's not the last day of the month, but it's only 28. And even when you give it a bonus day, it's still short of every other month. Doesn't make sense.
It's because winter sucks. We at least have holidays in December and the NFL playoffs in January.
Oh, my God.
And I think we get to the point of February.
It doesn't make a difference.
Sure it does. It makes us fly through.
Sean, if it was a February 30th and there was one less day of March, why would that make any difference?
I actually think there's like a mental health aspect to it. You want to get through February.
So it's mental. So it's strictly when it's February 1st, you feel better about the world.
You know, when it's March 1st, you feel better about the
world. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes. The faster you get to March 1st, the better.
Do you buy that one, Teague?
No.
Of course not.
That just feels good. Even though the weather does seem to change like right around this time.
It does, but you're missing but
that's,
my...
That's because the Earth is tilting, is changing.
Right.
The tilt is changing.
It's more, why did we lay out the months this way? Why does this month in particular, the second month of the year, only have 28 days? It bothered me, and then the second half of the Knick game started, and I got distracted.
Okay, we have a Jalen Brunson update.
And they're not even playing tonight.
No, Ian Begley has tweeted, Jalen Brunson is officially questionable for tomorrow's game versus Golden State due to neck spasms. Isaiah Hartenstein is not on the injury report, means he should be available to play versus Golden State.
So what we learned from that is Ihart's the one that sat with a maintenance day because of the Achilles. And in Jalen's case, it's still an injury that's quote-unquote day-to-day, which makes you think it's a real thing. Now, it may not be a serious thing. He could still play tomorrow night against Golden State. But the fact that he's still on the injury report and Ihart is not leads you to believe Ihart was strictly a maintenance day, managing the Achilles. And in Brunson's case, there's something here with the neck. And now you just got to cross your fingers. That's all you got.
Brunson's not playing tomorrow night. They did the same thing with Ananobi where they were saying a day before, he's questionable and he didn't play. They did that for like six straight games. Concern level starting to go up here.
Well, and I think that concern level comes from the fact that they have done this to you before, like you mentioned
right.
with OG Ananobi.
This is the pattern. This is the pattern.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Obviously, tomorrow night's a big night. Tomorrow's a big night because, and I know this firsthand, when the Warriors are in town, it's an event. A chance to see Steph Curry, who in my humble opinion is the biggest box office attraction, including LeBron, in the NBA. Attraction.
Wembanyama?
No.
All right.
No, I don't think he is. Not yet. I mean,
not yet, but
years.
I was just, yeah, top five.
Right now, the biggest pound-for-pound attraction, in fact, let me up this, not the NBA, in sports. The biggest, in the four major sports, I don't know enough about soccer. And if you guys are going to tell me a soccer player, maybe you're right. I have no idea. The biggest box office attraction is Steph Curry. And he's playing at Madison Square Garden tomorrow night. That's why, you know, if you're a basketball fan or you want to buy secondary market tickets, you're buying it either way, whether Brunson's playing or not, because you want to see Steph. Let's get to some of your calls. Ronnie's in Toms River, New Jersey. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, guys. How's everyone doing?
Very good.
That's cool. I'm here to debate you guys on the MetLife Stadium thing that you guys have.
All right. Let's hear it.
You're going to debate that it's not a dump? Really?
It's compared to what? FedEx Field for the Washington Commanders? You're saying that?
Yeah, that was pretty bad, too. But that was old.
Yeah,
that
okay.
was like really old.
Evan, hold on. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So if you had a Victoria's Secret mall in like what the Dallas Cowboys had, you would be happier at MetLife Stadium. Like, what are your concerns about MetLife? That's a dump. I want to know.
Okay, I will lay it out. First of all, I think it's just ugly to look at. It's not aesthetically pleasing. And I want to agree with you about one thing, Ronnie. I'm not going to judge where the Dallas Cowboys play because I haven't been there yet. Now, I've been to Gillette, so I'll bring it up. I've been to the Link. I can bring it up. And I think those two stadiums, as compared to MetLife, have personality. It looks good. It feels like a stadium that houses a team. This feels like just a giant spaceship. So a lot of it is an aesthetic look, which I assume you agree with me on, right?
Well, I mean, I think it represents the New York area. It's gray. It's kind of like no kind of like culture. But yeah, but did you look at the attendance of like who was number, what, four or fifth? The Giants were one of the most attendance league in the more the fans were attended, not Gillette.
But what is that? Well, hold on. What does that prove? That just proves that they want to watch the Giants play football. Like we as New Yorkers and New Jerseyers.
Exactly, Evan. That's what it's all about. It's about watching football. It's not about having artwork or a cool lighthouse that they have that flashes the light or anything like that. It's about people wanting to go see the product.
Yeah, but I think we all agree that we want to see our teams, but we still prefer to be in a nicer stadium. Like, I would still go to Shea Stadium, and I love Shea Stadium, but Citi Field's nicer, and that's better, don't you think?
Well, I do agree with that, but what's nicer about Citi Field? Can you go to the bathroom? Like, I know you take your child to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You wait in lines a lot? You wait in lines a lot?
No, since they're young enough, I go to the family room.
Giant Stadium have a phenomenal bathroom situation. I never wait in line for that.
Oh, I never
wait in line for a beer, and it's easy to get to my seat. And you can, and just to end on this.
I get what you're saying, by the way, and I understand that those things are true. I just think it
And those things are important, but to me, it's just the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Just the look.
What was your final point, Ronnie? Because I appreciate the debate. I do.
Thank you. The final point is, if I can get up in between a commercial timeout, go to the bathroom, come back, and not miss a play, that's customer service. Like, that's great. Like, and I never had a problem with that whatsoever.
I got to hand it to you. You make some very good points.
Well,
the points are
convenience points.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine.
That matters,
though. Of course it matters.
Because the idea is you still want to go there and enjoy the game.
It still doesn't make the stadium look good.
I think the stadium looks good on the interior. It's the exterior that's so ugly.
I also think that while that stuff's convenient, in my experiences going to MetLife, which I've been to over the 12 years it's been here, probably once a year, so on average, it opened in 2010. I've been there 14 times, around there. I feel like the place is like a maze. Like, it's very, very confusing.
See, I think it's
you
easy.
Don't know how to get to one spot, then you get to another spot. How do you get to this spot? It takes forever to get around.
It is big.
So it's massive.
If you have to walk around the outside, it takes a long time.
Yeah. All right. It's a circle, and then at one point, the stairs come down into that concourse. I think that we could acknowledge that something's both disappointing, but it doesn't make it bad. And I think that's it. I think MetLife Stadium's disappointing, but it doesn't mean it's a crap hole.
Well, I still think it's a crap hole. I appreciate his points. I get the
broadcast booth is nice, so.
The broadcast booth.
That's all I care about. By the way, I have an answer for you, Evan.
Concerning February?
February has 28 days. Because the Romans had all of these superstitions. Originally, it was a 10-month calendar, and then it moved to 12. But a Roman king, Numa Pompilius, didn't like even days. Because even days were, the even number was bad. It was unlucky.
Okay, well, there's 28 days in February, so what am I missing?
Okay, but so he made the calendar all uneven days. But with an even number of months, as you all know, it's basic math, two odds, like multiple, like even number odds.
Okay.
It's always going to be an even number.
Okay.
Right? So he kept getting an even number. And so he would flip it. He would take one day off a month, which was February, and make it 29. And so February got stuck as the uneven month in this Roman calculation.
Can we change that?
It all goes back to the Romans.
Why are we listening to these Romans from thousands of years ago with some weird superstition?
Because they started to fix the calendar to make it actually work to the lunar cycle.
Well, can we refix it then?
I mean,
you can't do that. By the way, people already have birthdays, Ev. You can't change the month.
How about the people who have birthdays on leap years?
I mean, think
about that.
But yes, you did put me in a rabbit hole.
I knew I would. There are certain things that go into my brain, and I'm like, I know this is going to send Tiki down some kind of rabbit hole. It always bothers me when I get to the end of February. Like, I'm not telling you February is my favorite month.
It's not over yet. You got one more day still.
I understand, because the leap year, like, I don't even hate February the way some people do. I like February, because to me, February is more snow than January is and December is. And I like snow. Like, I'm a big fan of snow. So I like February. But it just bothers me, like 28 days. And we got to stick with 31 days out of January? Why? Why the hell would January get 31 days and February get 28 days? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And then March gets 31 days? So let me get this straight. February is in a sandwich in which they're surrounded by 2 months that get 31 days? By the way, I bet you, if I ask Sean a random month, he won't know how many days there are in the month.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you don't have to bet. It's probably a lock, but I give it a go.
November.
30.
Got it right. Mm-hmm. September.
31.
August.
That's definitely 31.
Got that one right.
Waiver deadline.
June.
30.
Got that right.
Yeah.
March.
You just told me 31.
April.
Well, if March is 31, April is 30.
Very good. Yeah. That's not bad. You got one wrong.
Right.
Which one did you get wrong again?
November. No, you got November right. You got...
I don't know.
You got November right.
September.
You knew that December had 31, so November had to have 30.
Yeah, I guess it's not every...
They didn't teach you that thing as a kid. 30 days have September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31 except for February alone. I thought that was like a common thing.
I remember the song. The only reason I know off the top of my head, like the how many days are in a month, is just because something will sound weird. Like, I just know, right. You know April 31st doesn't make any sense. Like, I hear it, and I'm like, no, that doesn't work.
You know how you actually do it?
Huh?
Count your knuckles.
Okay.
January... February.
I'm already confused.
So January is a big knuckle, so that's 31. So you start with your index finger.
All right.
So 31, February.
What the hell is going
on? You just got to know February has 28. March, it's a big knuckle, 31. April, it's in between.
This makes no sense.
It's in between.
I'm sorry.
It's 30. Count your knuckles.
It doesn't make any sense.
And the gaps.
Nah.
And what is the moose knuckle?
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. September, October, November, December.
Yeah, I don't see that, bro.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, my system's better. You just know it. Like, you hear it. Like, who would hear November 31st and say, that sounds normal? You just know. It's like you don't hear it like June 31st. That's not a thing. It just rings in your ear. That doesn't work for you guys?
Mm-mm. Not really, no.
Interesting.
No. You could tell me any day.
Okay.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.